Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Sunday evening recorded lesson during the COVID pandemic. We hope and pray that all of this will end soon. Maybe by summer or this fall, we'll be back to normal. Let's keep praying in that direction. For those who were with us this morning, you know, we had another fine lesson from the book of Acts from Brother Brent. It should thrill us to read these accounts of the early church and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We still have that mission. It is so critically important for us to remember the wonderful message of the gospel that we have to share. It's our goal to share the good news with someone like the Ethiopian who was seeking, wanting to find the truth. We are looking for those who have good and honest hearts, who, like the Ethiopian, after hearing the gospel, will ask, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And so, what wonderful lessons for us to think about as we think about the power of the gospel and our responsibility to take the good news to those who are around us in the world. Also, for those who were in attendance or who watched on Facebook, you know that we've been studying from the book of Proverbs, and we studied pieces of four chapters this morning, Proverbs chapter 10 through 13. I'd like to pick up a few pieces this evening that we didn't get time for this morning. Of course, it's impossible to cover four chapters of Proverbs or any other book, I suppose, in any kind of detail in a 45-minute class. So I'd like to cover a few more of the Proverbs this evening, specifically about the tongue. So many of the Proverbs deal with the tongue. And in a couple of weeks, when it's my turn to teach again, we'll be talking more about Proverbs concerning the tongue. But there's so much about the tongue, I don't think we're going to step on that material too much. And so open your Bibles, if you're studying with us this evening, to those same chapters, Proverbs 10 through 13, as we talk a little bit more about some of the Proverbs from this section. Over and over again, the author of Proverbs reminds us, admonishes us, to listen and to learn. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, chapter 13, verse 1. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel, chapter 12, verse 15. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, chapter 12, verse 1. So how much do we love wisdom? How much do we love the truth? How much are we wanting to grow and be what God wants us to be? How much time do we spend in the study of God's Word, in prayer, asking Him for help, in the meditation upon His Word? And so once again this evening, we want to look at some of the Proverbs as we think about this important wisdom that God has given to us, this wisdom that is so important for our spiritual lives. So let's go to chapter 10 of Proverbs to begin with and look at verses 19 through 21. We mentioned in class this morning that a number of these Proverbs are just individual verses, but sometimes there is a topic and he puts two or three or four verses together on the same topic that tie together. And that's the case here in verses 19 through 21. So let's read it together. Here the writer says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding." I'm reading this evening from the New American Standard Version. The writer warns, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. The person who speaks a lot is more likely to make mistakes. The well-known conservative broadcaster Rush Limbaugh passed away recently. There have been a number of tributes to him. And I was listening to one of those recently, and they were playing clips from Rush's shows. And Rush was making the point one day about the fact that he was on the radio for 3 hours a day. That's 15 hours a week in most weeks. And he was, well, he often joked about the fact that he was right, documented to be right, 99.7% of the time. Well, of course, that was tongue-in-cheek. And in his more humble moments, he would say, "You're on the radio for 15 hours a week. You're going to make mistakes. You're not going to get everything right. You're going to misquote something. You're going to misremember something. You're going to quote something from someone else that was incorrect and you have to correct it. And so you're going to speak that much, you're going to make mistakes and you have to have the courage to correct those mistakes and move on." Well, we know that's the case, and that's exactly what the writer here is saying in Proverbs. The more you talk, the more likely you're going to say something stupid, something wrong. You're going to put your foot in your mouth. "He who restrains," the author says, "he who restrains his lips is wise." Secondly, let's notice verse 20. "The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little." Choice silver. Silver was refined with fire. They would heat up silver or gold until the point of it melting, and then they would skim off the impurities. The choice silver was that which had been refined. And so when it is purified, it is melted. The dross is skimmed off. It is that dross that is referred to here as that which is worth little. It's not worth anything. It's just the impurities that are skimmed away. And so he says the tongue of the righteous is like the choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. It's like that excess that is skimmed away, the impurities that are skimmed away. The tongue of the wise, his words carefully chosen, words of encouragement, words of information, words that are selective, words that are encouraging and admonishing and edifying to others, building up others, are like purified silver. Then in verse 21, he says, "The lips of the righteous feed many." Not talking, of course, about physical food, but spiritual food. Again, it's that same parallel idea of the encouragement, the teaching, the support, the admonition, the correction, the edification that comes, the help that comes from the tongue of the wise. We've all received it. We've all received that pat on the back. We've all received that encouragement when we're down. We're all received that kick in the pants, we might even say, from someone who loved us and straightened us out on something. And so the lips of the righteous feed many. Well, let's move on down now to two more verses in chapter 10. Look at verses 31 and 32, the last two verses of chapter 10. It says, "The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous speak forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted." So the writer here says, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. That's the New American Standard, as I said. And so it says it flows with wisdom. But almost all the other major translations don't use the word flows, but use the words brings forth wisdom. Brings forth wisdom. And one commentary that I was looking at suggested the idea here is it's the picture of a tree that is producing fruit. It brings forth, it produces wisdom. And so it's been suggested here that the contrast is between the tree that brings forth fruit and the tree that's to be removed or cut down, that's not fruitful. He says, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Well, that sounds pretty harsh. And I don't really think he's talking about literally cutting out the tongue of someone. That was never done under the law. But maybe the idea is like a tree that's being removed because it's not fruitful. Remember the parable of the fig tree in Luke chapter 13, verse 8. A tree that was not producing, and the master said to cut it down and remove it. And the servant said, "Well, master, let's dig around it one more year. Let's dig around it and let's dung it. Let's fertilize it. And then if it doesn't produce next year, then we'll cut it down." And the master said, "Okay." Trees that didn't produce shouldn't take up space. Trees that don't produce should be cut down, and something should be planted in its place that will bring forth fruit. The purpose of the farmer, of the one who's trying to harvest a crop, is to have plants that will produce. And so such may be the idea here. And so when he says that the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, or brings forth wisdom, produces the fruit of wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut down, it will be removed, God will judge. And then he says in the next verse, verse 32, the lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. This word perverted is an interesting word. The King James says froward, a word we don't use anymore. It's the idea of perversity, foolishness, deceit, fraud. In chapter 16, verse 28 of Proverbs, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. And so the mouth of the wicked is perverted. The mouth of the wicked is one that spreads strife and is deceitful and separates even close friends. Now let's skip down to chapter 12. More about the tongue in chapter 12, verses 18 through 22. Again, there's a section of passages here, verses here, that are saying something that are similar to each other. Not every verse here is about the tongue, but they're all closely tied together. Chapter 12, verses 18 through 22. "There is one that speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." The writer says here in verse 18, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. One who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword. That again is the New American Standard. The King James says there's one that speaks. The New King James says there's one that speaks like the piercing of a sword. The NIV says reckless words pierce like a sword. The ESV says rash words are like sword thrusts. He's talking about a babbler. He's talking about one who causes harm by thoughtless words, harsh words, careless words. How many times have we done harm with our words, even when we didn't intend to? Maybe we were not thinking. Maybe it was unintentional and just thoughtless, saying something off the cuff or something we didn't intend but which hurt someone. Or maybe it was intentional. Maybe we're intentionally speaking about someone and we just didn't think they would ever find out, but someone passed along the word and then we got caught. But he says that these harmful words are like the thrusts of a sword. We know what a thrust of a sword is. That hurts. That's deadly. That's piercing. That's painful. And these words that we speak rashly, these words that we speak without thinking, these words that we speak, as the NIV says, recklessly, can cause pain and harm and hurt. And it's hard for people to forget. They never may forget. We may repent. We may apologize. We may try to correct it. But the harm is done. And it may take a long time to overcome that. But the verse says in the second part, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Just the opposite. Instead of harmful words and hurtful words and piercing words and painful words, are words of healing. How different these words of encouragement, these words that are like providing a salve, providing medicine. Now skip down to verse 22. As we said, several of the verses here have to do with the tongue. Verse 19, truthful lips will be established forever, but lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit, again, is the idea of lying, is in the heart of those who devise evil. But verse 22, lying lips. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. God wants us to speak faithfully and not with lying lips. This passage, of course, reminds us of Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 and 17. We're going to talk more about this passage next Sunday night, I think. But he says, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven that are an abomination to Him, a haughty eyes and lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And he goes on. The Bible is filled with liars. Yes, that is correct. Lying has been a problem for mankind from the very beginning of time. Jesus said in the New Testament that Satan was the father of lies, and Satan was there in the very beginning of time, getting Eve to sin by lying to her. Satan said to Eve, you shall not surely die. He just added one word to the commandment of God to make it a negative. God said, the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. And so he is the father of lies, and he is behind the lies that we tell. God doesn't want us to lie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But Satan is trying to get us to lie. He's trying to separate us from our Heavenly Father. Just think about some of the famous liars in the Bible. Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister to save his own skin. Jacob lied to his father Isaac about his brother Esau. He claimed to be Esau. He wanted to get the blessing from his father. When Esau went off to get game to prepare for his father for a meal and receive the blessing, Jacob and his mother schemed together to put on Esau's garments and to put things on his arms and neck, skins to make his father, to fool his father. When his father specifically asked him, he said, yes, he was Esau. He lied to his father. The sons of Jacob lied to their father about what happened to Joseph. They sold their brother Joseph into slavery. And then they killed an animal and they dipped his coat of many colors in the blood and showed it to their father. And said, is this the coat? Is this your son's coat? Interesting, they didn't say, is this our brother's coat? They said, is this your son's coat? And, of course, the implication was that he had been killed. They lied to him. They lied to him. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, lied to Naaman. You remember Naaman came and was healed of his leprosy when he was told by Elisha to dip seven times in the Jordan River. At first he thought it was silly, but he came to his senses with the help of his servants, and he went and he dipped seven times in the Jordan, and he came up clean. And he wanted to give the prophet gifts. He wanted to give Elisha gifts. And Elisha said, nope, he wouldn't take them. And so he sent him off and he headed back home. And Gehazi's heart was filled with covetousness, and he chased after him. And he said to Naaman, "Oh, my master's changed his mind. There were some young men that came, some sons of the prophets that came. They need some things." And so Naaman said, "Of course, sure, here." And he gave him a bunch of stuff, and Gehazi took it and hid it in his tent. He wanted it for himself. He was covetous. But then he lied a second time. When he came back, Elisha said, "Where did you go?" "Oh, I didn't go anywhere." And of course, Elisha knew where he had gone. And so he lied again. Many, many liars in the Bible. Think about the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Apostle Peter and to God about the money they had given there in Acts chapter 5. And the list goes on and on, doesn't it? What about you? Have you lied this week? Last week? Did you lie to protect yourself from something embarrassing? Did you lie because you didn't want your husband or wife or boss or children to find something out about what you had done? Did you lie to build yourself up, to make you look better in the eyes of others than you really are? Have you lied? Remember what the Bible teaches about lying. God wants us to tell the truth. Lying lips, the writer of Proverbs says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. Well, that's all for tonight. Thank you for listening. Much, much more in the book of Proverbs we'll be looking at. We hope that you will come to class and study with us from the book of Proverbs. Or if you're still not attending because of COVID, be watching every Sunday morning and learn with us from Proverbs. What a great book. And so lesson number eight, next Sunday morning. And Brother Brent will be leading our minds. And so let's look forward to that. Good night, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.